The Word Series, the Aleph Tav. Genesis 1:1 reads, "In the beginning created Elohim the heavens and the earth." In Hebrew, this would sound something like Bareshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'eretz. In the center of this verse, of these seven Hebrew words, there is a fourth untranslatable word. The fourth word is actually two Hebrew letters, the Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph Tav expression serves as a grammatical purpose in that it points to the direct object of the sentence. But these two letters do not actually form a word. Rather, they express an understanding. This is the basic difference found between Greek-based languages, such as English, and the Hebrew language. Whereas Greek and English form a static, rigid architecture, Hebrew is more fluid, promoting understanding rather than a definitive, straight-line presentation. The Aleph Tav character symbol has been hidden in plain sight from the beginning, starting with the original Paleo-Hebrew scrolls written by the hand of Moses and the prophets, then copied by scribes for thousands of years thereafter into modern Hebrew, but not translated by the Greek Septuagint, the Latin Vulgate, the King James, or subsequent English Bible translations, because it was not considered a word. However, as we shall see, the placement of these two Hebrew characters throughout the scripture has far-reaching implications. The Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew Aleph Beit, or alphabet, and the Tav is the last letter of the Aleph Beit. It is in the placement of these two very significant letters at strategic location within many verses of the Hebrew scripture that expresses an understanding of a total completeness. It is equivalent to saying from Alpha to Omega, from A to Z, from the first to the last, from beginning to end. We see the Aleph Tav symbol in association with Yahweh, used in hundreds of places in the original writings. One example concerning judgment is in Genesis 13:10, Yahweh 8, Sodom and Gomorrah. Starting here and throughout the rest of this reading, I'm going to use the sound 8 to represent the Aleph Tav symbol word. Other examples confirming the usage of this can be found in Genesis 19:14, Isaiah 13:19, Jeremiah 50:40, and Amos 4:11. An example of the Aleph Tav, 8, symbol, rendered as a blessing is in Exodus 20:8, "And bless Yahweh 8 day, the Sabbath." Hebrew scholars agree that originally, in Paleo-Hebrew, the first letter of the alphabet, the Aleph symbol, meant strength, with this letter symbol an ox head. The last letter of the Aleph Beit is the letter Tav, which had as its letter picture an X, a symbol or sign of covenant. Consequently, the Aleph Tav symbol, 8, literally means strength of the covenant when used in original Hebrew text, and was placed to create emphasis as a direct object pointer to the workings of Yahweh, both Yahweh and Aleph Tav, concerning his covenant, wherever it was placed throughout the Tanakh, that is, the original writings. For instance, in the life of Jacob and Esau, captured in Genesis 25:28, we find that both Jacob and Esau have the Aleph Tav symbols in front of their names in the beginning of their life together. But the last time we see the Aleph Tav symbol used in front of Esau's name is in Genesis 27:1. On that day, Isaac calls to Esau, asking him to hunt some savory meat so that he, Isaac, may bless Esau. Even though Esau's name is used another 78 times in the Torah, the Aleph Tav symbol continues to be only in front of Jacob's name and not Esau, because the covenant blessing of the birthright given for Messiah was removed from him. The reason Esau has no Aleph Tav symbols in front of his name after Genesis 27:1 is explained by Moses in Genesis 25:34. For so despised Esau his Aleph Tav birthright, Esau's dismissal of Yahweh's designated purpose for his life resulted in that purpose being passed to his brother Jacob. Yet another instance of the significance of the Aleph Tav symbol is found in the book of Ruth. Ruth's name is used 12 times in the book. The first 10 times there is no Aleph Tav symbol in front of her name. After she is redeemed by Boaz, the next 2 times her name is used, an Aleph Tav symbol appears in front of her name each time. These are just 2 examples, but it seems quite obvious that the Aleph Tav symbol shows a connection of covenant relationship with Yahweh. So, from the Hebraic perspective, these words are written in Genesis 1:1 is seen as, in the beginning, Elohim created the Aleph Tav. In other words, the very first thing that Elohim created were the letters from which all life and physical things spring from, the divinely ordained building blocks of life. Elohim is commonly translated as God, G-O-D, in the English translations of Genesis 1:1. But Elohim is specific and unique to Hebraic thinking, occurring only in the Hebrew and in no other languages. Ancient Hebrews believed that Elohim had to create this first because it is all the letters of the Hebrew Aleph Beit that form the Torah, the word of Yahweh, which, according to the word of Yahweh, is Yahweh himself. Actually, if the words of Genesis 1 are read closely, we find that no creative process takes place in the first 6 days except the beast and man. Everything else was formed from the material that was already created in verse 1. This is the same statement contained in Yochanan, that is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Any Hebrew reading that verse would give it a hearty amen. He would say, in the beginning was the Word, the Aleph Beit. The Word was with Yahweh, and Yahweh was the Word, the Aleph Beit. Yahweh is the Aleph Beit, and is revered for the same reason. The letters of the words of Torah are the source of life. Yahweh, not Yeshua, the Son, who, in his own words of John 17:6, tells us that he did not replace Yahweh, but manifested his name, the name of the Father, in which are found the glory, the nature, and the essence of Yahweh, expressed in Exodus 34:1-7, and by which those who follow Yeshua are called to do the same. In English, Genesis 1:1 should be understood as, in the beginning, Elohim created A to Z. The prophet Isaiah confirmed the same about the letters YHWH being the first and the last in Isaiah 41, 44, and 48. The English expression that parallels this one is, he finished everything from A to Z, or from the beginning to end, Because these Hebrew letters are the building blocks of life, to be in perpetuity with the Creator means active involvement with His words in creation today. It means to study them and to speak them forth continuously. The ancient Hebrews believed that if ever there is a time when Torah is not being vocalized, the earth will melt away with fervent heat. Malachi 4:1, scripturally, evildoers are those who do not keep the words of Yahweh. That saying should ring familiar to those who study the Messianic writings, as there is a similar statement in 2 Peter 3:10 13, that there will be a time when the earth melts away with a fervent heat. From a scriptural point of view, that simply means that there will be no laws and no Torah on the earth, and that it is Torah, the word of Yahweh, that is keeping all things together. This brings to mind Colossians 1:17, where it says that in Him were all things created, and through Yeshua all things hold together, or has cohesion, through as in a conduit, not initiated by His own hand. In Yeshua abides the word of Yahweh manifest in His life, and it is through the word of Yahweh that all things hold together or have cohesion. So when the words instruction or commandments are noted in Messianic writings, it is always referring to the original 10 words and Torah. If we are to use the life of Yeshua as the benchmark by which all other words of Scripture are measured, then His words of Matthew 19:16 should be sufficient, in which He not only says to keep the commandments, but repeats them so that there is no misunderstanding about which ones He is referring to. However, to those who do not have the ears to hear the truth of these words, who are not desperately seeking truth, always find ways to justify their claims contrary to His words. Most Christians would say, well, of course we keep the commandments, because we do what is right as Jesus would have us do. However, they don't keep Shabbat, the fourth of the commandments, and the commandment to not covet another's spouse only applies unless they are really attractive. To say they keep the commandments but neglect any one of them by rewriting its meaning to suit their beliefs, do not realize that by neglecting the one, they bring the full weight of separation from the Spirit upon their lives. The 10 words of Yahweh are the basis of the nature of Spirit. You might wish to read the 4-part series about the law, which begins with a discussion of the difference between the Torah and the law, and continues on in the links at the bottom of each article to show how everything Yeshua and the apostles said was not new, but a proper interpretation of what had come before out of the Torah. Numbers 15:30 reads, "But the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native or a sojourner, reviles Yahweh, and that person shall be cut off from among his people." The Hebrew word translated with a high hand in this verse in Numbers 15 is ru'um, which means to be lofty, exalted, set on high, deciding for themselves what is truth. The 10th letter of the Aleph Beit is the Yod, and literally means of the hand, or lifting of the hand, as in 10 fingers. The hand is that which we work, make, and worship with. Yeshua directly linked the Yod to Torah and the commandments in Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one yod or one tag shall in no way pass from Torah till all be fulfilled. The illumination of the Spirit is not a substitute for study. Scripture is given to us to validate what we are hearing is the Spirit of truth. Those who approach Scripture with the attitude that all that is required is a devoted and open heart to the leading of the Spirit are adopting the same approach as the man who waits for Elohim to harvest the field while he sits on the fence and prays for something to happen. If we are to be active participants with Yahweh in the creative process taking place around us right now, we need to be actively aligned with His purpose found in His words. And this is the separation. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in Yahweh. John 3:19.